everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, it feels like we've done this already today.
It does. I'm getting deja vu.
My computer legit crashed and wiped out what was already about a 40-minute podcast. So we're going to try to get our enthusiasm back up to where it was previously. Problem is, the subject matter of this podcast doesn't exactly lend itself to enthusiasm.
Yeah, that may be working in our favor doing this, yeah. Recording this second time. So, yeah.
There you go. Also, important update. My daughter started cooing. Avery started cooing.
Congrats.
So she's getting ready to make her podcast debut here in a bit. So we might have to carve out like a chunk of the day where people might actually prefer her cooing to like my Lakers takes.
It's very possible.
It might be better put together than the Mimosa show a couple days ago anyway.
The Mimosa show? That'll be the Mimosa show from now on.
All right, the premise of today's show, this is part two of, to be clear, Pete's idea on forecasting this Lakers season compared to expectations. We did the other day on Wednesday's show what it would look like and what would lend to Lakers success. Today's show, we are going to talk about what it would look like if they fall short of our expectations and what would lead to that to that outcome of the season. Because it is a bit of a downer of a subject here, we are going to finish off the show with a fun game because, you know, by the time you guys are listening to this, you will be getting ready to hear Media Day and all the quotes that come from that. So what we're going to do in segment three is have a little bit of fun with quotes and subject matter that we can predict that we're going to hear from Media Day. So that's already fun. We've already gotten a few under our belts here. We'll try to make it seem as if we haven't come up with those before, but, you know, we can do what we can do. Let's start, though, with the with your subject here, Pete. And what would happen? What would have to happen in order for the Lakers to fall short of expectations? And the obvious one is health.
Yes.
So you can't predict health, right? Like you could never have predicted that LeBron would just step incorrectly on Christmas and miss a quarter of the season as a result, right? You could not predict that Brandon Ingram would feel tightness in his shoulder and have a potentially life-threatening malady having to do with his blood clots, right? Those are things that you cannot predict. There are things, though, that the Lakers can control. They can control how the information about injuries reach the public, right? Or if not the public, you and me. You know, I'm going to sound selfish here, but it is kind of frustrating when throughout the season I have to basically raise my arms into the shrug emoji and say, I don't know when Lonzo Ball is going to come back from his grade three ankle sprain that they say was going to heal in a week, right?
Right.
I don't know how those things are going. I don't know how JaVale McGee is going to recover from pneumonia. What are your – I've talked about this quite a bit, but how do you – like, what do you think is the best way for them to handle that information?
You know,
realistically speaking.
I've always said that they need to, you know, set expectations low, under promise, over deliver type thing. I really don't see the benefit for saying that a guy's going to be back sooner than he's actually going to be back.
Yeah.
You know, if you say a guy's out for 2 weeks and he misses 1 week, everyone's happy. If you say he's day to day and he misses a week, everyone's pissed off.
Yep.
So like, you know, it's the same amount of time missed. It's just a matter of how that's perceived. So, you know, I'd love for the Lakers to handle that a little bit differently. And it's even better for the players, right?
It is.
Like they're
that's
not,
what
it, having
that's
people...
what I always laugh about. Like if I was a player, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to come back from an amputated leg next week.
Right,
like, of course I'm not going to.
Right. So I would love to see them change that, you know, but that's been the case for several years now. So I'm not expecting any different.
Yeah, that's fair. The other factor here in regards to at least the reporting of health situations is I wonder if the league is going to crack down on some of that stuff. We've already seen them say that starting lineups have to be in earlier than they were last year, right? Luke Walton would have never announced starting lineups. They would have just started playing and you'd see who was out there on the court. And that would be how you find out who started that game. I wonder if because of all the gambling going on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That the league is going to crack down on, no, is this player actually going to be available next week because you have all these future bets?
Absolutely. You know, today they announced that Mark Stein said that they're going to be asking for precise height measurements without shoes by 3 inches and precise with except for Kevin Durant for some weird reason and then precise ages. I think all of that, including the earlier start times, is the NBA is trying to find more revenue, more revenue sources
as
people are cutting cable. no kidding. But like the next TV contracts aren't going to be as big. Mm-hmm. People are streaming more and more. They're cord cutting. By the time 2021 rolls around and this is back up on the table, it's either that or 22, even more people will be in that category. It's not like basketball is less popular. It's not. There are just fewer people watching it in the old conventional way that they used to. So how does the NBA make money off of the popularity of its sport? One of the main ways that they plan on doing that is by being a lot more engaged in the gambling aspects of it. So if they're going to do that, certain things like, you know, being more accurate with injuries, being more accurate with starting lineups, and all of these different variables, I think, factor into that. Absolutely.
I might actually start playing fantasy basketball again if they're going to be proper in releasing injury information. There's nothing worse than having like a guy day to day for a week because you can't even put him on your IR. The other thing here having to do with injuries before we move on is the Judy Sato hire. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, in terms of conventional wisdom, especially pertaining to the Lakers, Judy Sato is synonymous with good physical therapy appliance, right? Good athletic medical understanding. That when it comes to her performance with the Lakers, there were very few less questionable presences in the Lakers organization than Judy Sato while she worked for the Lakers. The problem that I see, and people are going to roll their eyes with me complaining about this again, is that we don't know if she was actually the best hire because it seemed like a lot of the same process that went into hiring anybody else that the Lakers have hired over the last umpteen years, right? It was...
Yeah, we know
you. Yeah, we worked with you before. How about that? You rubbed Kobe's legs a few times and therefore... that came out way wrong. I didn't mean it like that at all.
That wasn't how I was taking. I think she does more than that.
I know.
But yeah, if you want to make it dark, I suppose it could have been taken that way too.
Anyway, that's the thing here that I'm. Those are the two aspects of the Lakers' health that I have my eye on. Was Judy Sato the proper hire? And there's probably no real way to know for sure, right? We can only question the process that went into her hiring. And as we just talked about, the release of that information. Are you as concerned about that? Or is it one of those things where it's like, it's not even worth thinking about because we don't know enough to think about it anyway?
I mean, that's probably closer to it. If I have to give an answer, I mean, she is at least established. She has some sort of track record in the NBA to where we can say, hey, the Lakers doing these years were, you know, Kobe, you know, he had mangled hands and all sorts of injuries. And
he's also a psychopath.
He's also a psychopath, right? But she managed to keep him together with duct tape somehow for most of that until like there was finally such a massive injury that it couldn't happen. She seems to be well respected, but this is so far out of my,
To be absolutely clear here, Jen is a physical therapist, and she says that Judy Sato is an absolute rock star in the field. So
hell yeah, that's better than anything we could say.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything that you think the Lakers can do to help their own health here? Is there an approach to load management that you're hoping to see? Anything like that that you think can help kind of mitigate against this very important factor in any professional season?
I mean, I think there are games here and there where you can sit a LeBron or sit an AD, right, against your Charlottes and Phoenixes and, you know, the bottom rungs of the league. But I really think, you know, my concerns about the health of this team are more specific than they are just the overall health of the team. Because I like the depth of this team. Mm-hmm. This team has solid depth. If LeBron goes down or if AD goes down, we're in deep shit.
Yeah.
For any extended period of time, that is, mm-hmm. right? If anybody else goes down, I mean, it would be bad, especially not to have them in the playoffs, but I feel like the guy behind them in most cases is good enough to be able to step in and fill that spot.
Yeah.
So I'm not as concerned about the overall health as I am, like, just freaking wrap LeBron and AD in bubble wrap between games. And if we can get 75 games out of each of those dudes, we're going to be all right.
They got to do that Little Giants scene. Did you ever watch that movie?
Oh, dude, it's been so long. I did, but I must have been 10 years old.
But the Little Giants scene where the nerdy kid comes out and his mom basically wrapped him in a mattress.
Oh, yeah. He's, that's like, right.
Spinning around. But he still managed to get concussed because it's football, and that's what you do in that sport.
That's right.
Let's take a quick second here, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of the more tangible ways that the Lakers season could go wrong. Beyond, hey, somebody sprained an ankle and that's just the way things go sometimes. I can't lie, I'm a little nervous about the fact that we're talking about this specific subject matter. And today alone, we have lost a podcast. Avery was a freaking monster last night and my pen blew up. So,
yeah, it's omens all around, huh?
And it's like cloudy and gloomy outside. It rained on my car today. It was weird.
Oh, I like that, man. I'm so ready for the weather to turn, man. This is one of the best signs that basketball is back.
Yep.
But when it comes to like different, you know, things that I'm concerned about, Kuzma is at the top of that list, right? You accurately the other day, you pointed out like, hey, let's maybe not write his name in pen in that closing five. And even though he might be the third most talented guy on the team, he's going to have some adjusting to do. I had a Gibson Piper on the LFR podcast in about a month ago, and that was one of his concerns. He thinks that Kuz is going to have some difficulty fitting in. I tend to disagree with him on that. Like, I think he'll have maybe a slow start as he adjusts to a different role. But I think that a lot of like what Vogel did with Evan Fournier is conducive to what Kyle Kuzma does best. I think he does a good job, Vogel, that is, of getting the most out of guys who like to move around without the ball, which is a talent of Kuzma's. Mm-hmm. And then you combine that with the personnel of LeBron and Anthony Davis. Those are two guys that Kuzma can capitalize off of. But even then, it's going to be an adjustment period. And more to the point of what we need Kuzma to be is on the other end of the court,
yeah.
Right? I really liked the little that we saw of him with Team USA on the defensive end. He was doing what he can do. Yeah, he's still going to get bodied by fours and fives that are bigger than he is. I think that the construction of this roster puts him more on the wing, which is a good thing. But he was making his rotations. He had a better understanding of where he needed to be and when. So if he can continue that into the regular season, that's the guy we need him to be. But that is far from a guarantee, right? Yeah. And so if we get a version of him that's shooting in the low 30s from 3-point range and is playing defense like he did his first couple of years, you know, we're missing. He's the most talented guy outside of the big two. And there are going to be times where he'll be difficult to play because of that, if he plays like that. So that if this season goes the wrong way outside of health, I think Kuzma not being able to step up to the challenge is right at the top of the list of the reasons why.
I use an analogy about gravy and Thanksgiving that launched us into another food conversation. Just let it be known that Pete is pro sweet potatoes and I am anti sweet potatoes.
Yeah. And Fred Anthony Irwin is the whitest Mexican I've ever met. That's all you need to know out of the Lost podcast that we just did.
Look, man, I have been hit with plenty of chanclas in my life. I promise you.
Heat-seeking, yes.
Dude, my grandma, who actually my Avery is named after in part, but wow, that was insane. You talk about like the best passers in the NBA. They have nothing on Mexican grandmas.
That's
nothing.
Right. That's right.
But my thing with Kuzma is that I just, as you said, I haven't penciled him into that final lineup. I am not banking on a crazy Kuzma bounce back year. I want to see it before I just kind of say that that's something that the Lakers should really bank on. And sure. Fortunately, both LeBron and Anthony Davis play his position. So it might be complicated to get him into that spot anyway, right?
They so, do, but we need him, man. We need Kuz. Do. Like, Kuz is so talented. Like, just from a, like, put positions aside.
Yeah.
He's the third most talented guy on the team. Danny Green's probably our third best player because he knows what the hell he's doing. And I know exactly what Danny Green's going to be this year. But we need Kuz to be close to the best case scenario or closer toward that if we want any chance at a title. He's just so much more talented than some of the other guys in terms of as a scorer. And he's a good passer. He's got some ability, man. Like, his ceiling is so much higher than any of those other guys, 3 through 9, 3 through 10, that, like, even though AD and LeBron play his position or are adjacent to it, like, we still need Kuz to come through. We just don't have enough talent on the team to survive Kuz not being really, really good.
Yeah. My concern, I'm going to build off this. I'm going to let this segue into the next thing that I think could really kind of throw a wrench into this Lakers season, is that the spacing just isn't there beyond Danny Green, right? Because, like, you'd like to say Avery Bradley has hit three-pointers at some point in his career. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope makes three-pointers all the time when the games don't really matter. Alex Caruso had a bit of an outlier in terms of how well he was shooting the ball last year. Rajon Rondo shot the ball at a high percentage from three-point range, but a lot of that was done off the dribble in ways that don't space the floor. Anthony Davis doesn't want to play the five, and so you're going to have a non-spacing, the kind of big that doesn't help space the floor out there as well. And if Kyle Kuzma isn't able to shoot, if he is closer to the low 30s percent shooter that he was from deep last year compared to what he was his rookie year, now you're talking, you know, we talked a ton last year about how LeBron, even when he tried to flip the switch, wasn't quite able to. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that, like, opposing defenses didn't have to respect anybody else on the court for stretches last year. And especially when the game still mattered. So if the Lakers, if it's, you know, Danny Green, who is your only primary floor spacer, I don't think that's enough. And given how important the three-pointer is, not just to offensive production, but also the abilities for LeBron and Anthony Davis to actually operate in the kind of space they need, the floor spacing is something that I think is kind of somehow still kind of flown under the radar, just because you said, well, look, there's this great shooter over there.
Sure. No, and that's a fair point. Forgive me for not responding. This just broke on Twitter. The Lakers just released an update on Kuz, and it says, Kuzma is progressing with his rehabilitation from an injury, a stress reaction in his left foot that occurred while he was with USA Basketball. He has not been cleared for a full practice or game participation. He is scheduled for an MRI when the team returns from China, and a status update will be given at that time. The Lakers don't return from China until October 13th. So that's a ways away. He's out for a couple of weeks at least.
Stress reactions are scary, dude.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it took away an entire Derek Fisher season, if I remember correctly. The stress, it was a stress fracture to his foot. But, you know, stress reactions, like, all you can do is try to stay off of it, and you never quite know if there's a way to actually fully recover from it. So
yeah,
already off to a great start. Look at this,
man.
The Kuzma thing, look, for the reasons that we've talked about to this point, Kuzma's super important, and the Lakers need to figure out what role he's actually going to be in. Because, like, if you have Dwight Howard out there, you're going to try to play Kuzma at the two? Right? If you're going to have Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis and LeBron James out there, does that mean Kyle Kuzma is not out there on the court? Does this now mean that your best lineups or the lineups that you're going to rely on early while Kuzma still recovers are not going to feature him? You and I agree that if he's at his best, Kuzma is in that last lineup, but, you know, that's a little... It's a little nerve wracking.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, you got to be able to have AD at the five at that point. Yeah. And we had Mike Trudell on the show recently, and I thought he made a good argument that a lot of teams will go small at the end of games. Although, I mean, you know, when I think about it, Jokic is going to be in the game at the end of the game. Rudy Gobert is going to be in the end of the at the end of the game. Embiid, you've got a few guys around the league that will be in those closing lineups, but by and large, those minutes will come against kind of glorified fours, and the reasons for why AD doesn't like playing the five are kind of mitigated.
So. Yeah, yeah. We'll see. I hope Kuzma can be okay. You know,
I hope so, man. That's a bummer.
It is. Getting back, the fact that they're merely taking the MRI when he comes back, when they get back from China, is
right.
Like that's not. Well, we're hoping that he can start working out again when we all get back from China, or we aren't going to fly him out to China so that he can focus on rehabbing out here and then rejoin the team. We're going to find out more about this injury in a few weeks from now. That's not great.
Yeah.
Anything else that you're worried about? Guard play? Anything like that you're.
That was going to be my thing. Like the other worst case scenario, I suppose that Kuzma news drops within the perfect pod for this. Freaking A.
It's been one of those days, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like the, you know, what if Avery Bradley doesn't bounce back? What if Rondo plays like Rondo? You know, what if Caruso shows that he's still just a G League NBA borderline kind of player and those last 15 games weren't really real. You know, the Lakers don't have a ton in guard play. They need one of those guys to really step up, to really be able to be able to fill that role. So, yeah, man, that's something the Lakers really need. I said on the previous version of what this looks like if things go right, it means Avery Bradley, Alex Caruso, or Quinn Cook, you know, guys like that. KCP was the other guy. Thank you. That have a career year. And, you know, the version that doesn't, they don't do that, right? Yeah. Avery Bradley's hurt. Rondo continues to be how he is. Caruso isn't the real deal. And then we're kind of really struggling to find a guard.
Yeah, and it's now even more important with the Kuzma stuff. It's like a lot. If Kuzma isn't good to go, then you're going to need two of. Like, if Kuzma has the kind of year that a lot of people seem to think he's capable of, especially the Lakers think he's capable of, then you only need one of those guys, you know. But if Kuzma is down, if it's going to take him a while to get acclimated to this version of the Lakers, then you need two of Caruso, KCP, Avery Bradley to come through. The last factor here that I think really needs to be pointed out, and you know, if the season doesn't meet our expectations, I think one big factor is going to be, well, the players were, you know, they brought about too much power over the coaches, and Rajon Rondo played a way bigger role than he should have, right? Or Alex, it took too long to get Alex Caruso the kind of look that he needs to get, or you know, some version of those things. KCP, because of his clutch ties, gets a bigger opportunity than, say, Avery Bradley. Whatever that might look like, the team politics aspect of the way this team is guided and led is something that I really have my eye on.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about the margins, and those are, you know, these are places they can't be giving up.
Yeah.
Wins as a result of these politics, and they're very much in danger of doing that.
Yeah. The other thing you reminded me, we talked about this on the first version of the show, when you talked about giving up wins, the Lakers have to take care of business against the bad teams this year. They might be able to rest players occasionally against those bad teams, but given how many good teams there are out there and given how hard wins are going to be to come by this year, they cannot have the kind of games that you lost the beer bet over last season, right?
right.
That cannot happen again. So we'll see how all that goes. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to lighten things up. We're going to play some Media Day Bingo and try to get you guys into the weekend with a little bit more excitement than the rest of the show and this Kuzma news has provided. All right, so every media day, there are talking points that are literally handed out, right? Like, I think PR teams do coach their players. That's like the point of a lot of PR teams, is to coach players through and teams through, you know, some of the questions that you might receive over the course of media day. That's why you get a lot of the same answers throughout the league. So what Pete and I are going to do right now is play a little media day bingo, and we're going to give ourselves five lines or squares that we're going to fill out for ourselves. And then after the show, we're going to fill out a larger bingo card that you guys, and if you guys have any that you have or whatever, let us know. And we can add that to the card as well, and we can all play bingo over the course of media day. If you think I'm not actually going to scream out bingo if and when these five or not even scream out, I'm going to just tweet. Are you going to media day?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, so you're going to get an at from me saying bingo. You got to try to keep a straight face when I get it. I had you start. When we did this in this show's version 1.0, and you started with awkward KCP.
That's right. Awkward KCP interviews. Poor guy. He's very shy, not exactly comfortable in front of the camera. So if we get a good, you know, awkward moment from KCP, that's my first bingo square.
I wonder if you're going to, like, tamper on any of this stuff. Like, just ask.
I am absolutely set up to win this.
You're gonna ask. You're gonna walk around asking players. All right, how much muscle did you add this year? I just have one more square to go.
You would be surprised how many people who cover the NBA are in like fantasy basketball leagues who like will ask questions. Be like, so you planning on spacing the floor a little more with, I don't know, your stretch five this year? I'm thinking of drafting him in the sixth round. That's the subtext. Yeah. Conversation,
right? He's going in the sixth round right now, but should I reach for him at the fifth?
That's right. That's exactly what I plan on stacking the deck in my favor.
That was one of the factors why the Dynasty NBA league I was in like ended, was because like all those other guys that I was in the league with all had like 9-to-5s. They couldn't like dedicate a bunch of time to studying the NBA. And here I was just cleaning up because you had not just the information that makes its way out to me, but you had the other people who cover the teams and you could ask about. It was great. I miss it. We agreed that the free square for everybody is the aforementioned muscle watch.
Yes. The old 15 pounds of muscle. That's
yeah.
Right.
And you know, last season we got a weird version of that with KCP, where we were told that Rob Pelinka gave him a diet to focus on. And then he opened up the beginning of the year as if he was eating nothing but actual Black Mambas. So hopefully I still want to know, like, what made Rob Pelinka think that it was his job to offer dietary advice to professional athletes?
I don't freaking know.
That didn't get nearly enough pub. It's because it was about KCP and nobody really cared about him last year. My first one here is Kuzma Duckface for his team pictures and his team photos. He does this weird thing. You know what Duckface is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you know, it's usually girls with their selfies and they bring their lips in here and they pucker up. Kuzma, for some reason last year, did that for all of his pictures. And instead of smiling, instead of like the look angry, intimidating thing, he went just full duck face. And it was something that like I could not see. So I want to know what kind of picture he takes tomorrow. Whenever he is able to take that picture, though, I would imagine it's not going to be that. That's not probably going to be the topic of conversation about Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, we'll be taking photos of his freaking cast on his. Yeah.
All right. What's your next one here that I have for you? Was I have it listed as role apathy, but readiness.
Yeah. So first off, I'm sorry. Why did Kuzma have the MRI earlier? Can I just say that?
Like, company time, Pete.
Sorry, I'm processing this in real time. So these are just the things I normally say out loud to myself in my living room. Anyhow, well, yes.
The Lakers couldn't write off an MRI that happened during the offseason. If he, these things are expensive.
Anyway.
Steve Ballmer probably has three MRI machines in his locker room and ready to go at any given time. And the Lakers are just like, well, we'll get around to it. We'll figure it out.
Okay. I'll hold it together. It's not even October. Okay. Next, Big O Square. Yay. yes. Roll app. It doesn't matter what my role is, right? This is from either Kuz, Dwight, or JaVale, right? Mm-hmm. The questions on, you know, if I come off the bench or start. The guards are all guys who should be coming off the bench anyway, so they don't count, right? But these are all guys who feel like they are probably starters in this league, right? Kuz, Dwight, and JaVale. So them with a good old, you know, politically correct, it doesn't matter what my role is, I'm going to come in and do my best job and
I can't wait for you to ask all three of them about their roles just for this specific reason.
That's right. Like, I'll be super awkward with KCP.
KCP could actually give you one of these role responses too, right? I could start. I could come off the bench, whatever. My next one here has to do with Rondo being called a coach on the floor.
Yes.
That's going to happen. Just get yourself ready for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, the sad thing is he would be just as useful if he dressed up like a coach on the floor. Like if he wore a full suit and tie and dress shoes, he would be just as useful to the Lakers as he is dressed up in full uniform. So Rajon Rondo, actual coach on the court. Your next one here is a fun one. I'm going to let you do it.
Someone referring to themselves in third person. That is, yeah, I think it's happening. I think, LeBron is the most, is Dwight a third personer? I love it when it's role players, right? Well,
Dwight actually said the other day that he and LeBron have similar personalities. So,
Wow. That's damning with faint praise.
If I was LeBron, I'd be like, no, we don't. We have nothing in common. Look at your hair.
Who do you think is the most likely Laker to refer to themselves in?
Alex Caruso.
I hope so. He's the only one that deserves it. Yes.
Wouldn't it be like even better if you went by like AC Fresh? Yes. If you didn't say yes. Alex Caruso out there.
Is that fourth person when you call yourself by your nickname?
Honestly, it has to be like eighth person.
It's gotta
be. It's like so far out there. But could you imagine, like, so Caruso, like, are you ready to actually, you know, be able to fight for an actual NBA role this year? AC Fresh has been ready all year. Just that other coach wasn't ready for me. The NBA wasn't ready for AC Fresh.
That's right.
I need that in my life. My next one here is conversation about. Oh, no. I blinked. My next one is Rob Pelinka, biblical reference. It's happening.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's...
Is he speaking?
What's that?
He because they didn't... Last year, they did that weird thing where Magic and he did theirs. And then...
I don't know. So usually... That's right. Last year, they had a separate one. Yeah, that hasn't been scheduled. It's just straight media day. I don't know if Pelinka will speak. He probably will. Mm-hmm. He's also cut down on the biblical references lately because I think it's he gets so much crap for it. So it's not a guarantee. Not a guarantee that that's a.
I'm still writing it down though. All right, what's your next one?
Oh, I've got one more to get to five.
You got no. We have two more each.
Two more. All right. So I got KCP awkward pauses. Doesn't matter what my role is. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Third person. Damn. All right. So let's see. Who do we got? Somebody's going to piss LeBron off. Someone pisses LeBron off.
Ooh. Yeah. That's
like
a good
LeBron,
one.
LeBron's like
media pisses off LeBron.
Yeah, like LeBron is like, I hate this shit. That was what cracked me up about last year's media days. He like walked out and he's like, all right, I'm ready for you dummies. And you know, like this is the one time a year I get surrounded by this many of you.
What was the question that, remember it was like, do you think you've done enough to earn the respect of Laker fans or something like that? And woof.
Yeah, yeah.
That was not kill.
That was not on media day. That was a day or two after media day. And she actually got her credential pulled for that. That was not the only reason. Like they were in the right to do it. But that was an awkward situation.
My next one is players and members from the organization going out of their way to remind people Frank Vogel is the head coach.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah. That's, and those, what I, so how about along similar lines, Vogel getting asked about Jason Kidd specifically,
like, and about the coaching just dynamic. Just the question or how he responds to it? We can go with just a question, but how do you think he responds to it?
Oh, I'm so glad to have, that's it. I'm glad to have this experience on my team, on my coaching staff with Jason Kidd and Lionel Hollins and all that.
I love it. I would love, you remember the old Key and Peele skit where they had the translator for Obama, like the angry translator for Obama?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Luther. Yeah.
I would love to be able to have like somebody step out from behind Frank Vogel and it not be Jason Kidd holding a knife. But I would love for somebody to step out from behind Frank Vogel when he's asked about that. And he's like, I don't even like this dude. We all know it. It can be great. That's what I want.
There you go. A Vogel translator. I like it.
Yeah. All right. I guess I have the last one here. Let's end with a bang. What do you think the chances are that Rondo is the person who says, I don't want to start this year? Like Rondo on his role.
Ooh, I like that. I don't think that's going to happen, but I like that. That'd make me happy. I need something to make me happy after the Kuzma news.
Well, all right. That should be, we should ask about that. So, Do the Lakers no comment Kuz tomorrow?
They will be like, we sent the media release dummies. Like,
yeah. Somebody,
they're a little on the hostile side sometimes. That's what I'm saying.
You know? I mean, for good reason. People, yeah, you know, sure. How dare people ask like actual fair and driven questions to a multi-billion-dollar entity that, you know, drives an entire commerce around them? Why would they not expect that? Or why would they expect that? it's going to be fun though. I'm so happy we made it. Like we made it.
This is our last show before training camp and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, we have a mailbag Monday. So you guys make sure you get your questions in, you know, either responding to the first day of training camp, responding to Kyle Kuzma, responding to things said at media day, all of that fun stuff. And I promise Pete and I will get to as many of those questions as possible. But then after that, we're going to have actual talking points about basketball.
Yay.
I think what's the first Laker game? I think they have their first Laker game here, like within a week, right?
Yeah, so it's October 5th is the first game.
Oh, never mind. Not within a week. Almost there, though. Yes. We're almost there. The first NBA preseason game is almost here, though. That's for sure. So yes. That'll be fun. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Make somebody else's. Fill out bingo squares. Send them to either me on Twitter. I'm at Anthony Irwin LA, or you guys know at Laker Film Room on Twitter as well. Let us know what squares we missed that we should have said or whatever, and document your own bingo cards so that we can all play alongside each other for media day. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you on Monday.